just going to hand over to her pastor, praise God.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one this evening. I know everyone's maybe not here. Some people are still on holidays, but the Lord bless those that came this evening, and we appreciate Brickland letting us have this hall for fellowship, and maybe we'll change sometimes. Maybe it won't be 4:30 anymore, 6:00. And it's a rush to get here for 4:30 after a morning service, and then I want to talk to deacons and elders as well, whether we continue with the driving or not. So I don't want to make a firm decision on that yet. But we're here tonight, and Thursday night we can have it for prayer and Bible study. It's not available on Wednesday. There's other people here. There's a room upstairs as well, which is big. But I think we want to have our own space when we're here to pray and seek the Lord, and we just appreciate that we can have it. Praise God. I felt a couple of weeks ago to ask Jordy to give his testimony. I never mentioned it till him to this morning, but I suppose I jumped on him a bit. But the Bible says always be ready to give reason for the hope that lieth within you. I've known Jordy for a long time. He's a tremendous testimony, and I want Jordy just to share what ever the Lord leads on him, and if I have time at the end to bring a little short message, that's fine, but I want Jordy to feel free. I don't want him under any pressure that with the time, and we're going to have it recorded this evening, and the Lord bless all those that's listening in by way of the Facebook and internet. There's a lot of people listens in that doesn't come to our meetings, and we appreciate that, and the word of God's gone out to people that would maybe never come to church. And we want to keep at least one service a week like that, that we use it as an outreach service for to reach out to other people. And you know, some people are still afraid to come into a hall with all the COVID and everything. And I'm not here to condemn that. We just want to commit all them things to the Lord. And I heard today also of a few people that we know that they've got COVID now as well. It lives near for we do our drive-in. A couple of people's got COVID, so it's going about. So we want to do whatever we can and yet serve the Lord the best we can. That's what we want to do. So I'm not going to take no more time. I want Brother Jordy to come and just share his testimony, whatever he feels to share. And the Lord bless you, Brother George.
Thank you, Brother Tommy, for asking me to give my testimony tonight. I could have prayed just a few moments before we start. Lord, just pray tonight, Lord, you'll bless this service, Lord. And Lord, you'll speak, Lord, tonight. Encourage each one of us here tonight, Lord. Pray this beautiful hall you'll give us, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ as the days lie ahead. That, Lord, that fruit, Lord, that your word will be preached in this hall, Lord, and sinners will be saved, Lord. Lord, I pray that this little village of La Brickland, Lord, you'll start a mighty revival, Lord, with your people, Lord, of this hall today, Lord. Lord, we thank you already, Lord, for the singing of your word about the blood. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ shall never lose its power, Lord. Lord, we just thank you tonight, Lord, for the Calvary, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your death, your burial, and resurrection. We thank you've saved us, you've kept us, Lord. You've never let us down, and you never will. Thank you, Lord. And pray you be with us now, Lord, as we continue, Lord. Amen. Well, it's good to be home again. I feel at home all these people here tonight. I've seen people I haven't seen for a long time, Bro Edis and a few are. Sister McKinsey's here too, I think. Yeah, and I'm just glad to see us all. I used to know you years ago. And Philip, God bless you, Philip. And Tommy, is, I don't know, he's got me unexpected this morning, but thank God anyway. The Bible says you're overcome by the words of your testimony. And it's good to give an account whenever you're asked, you know, because I'm usually out in the streets preaching, but it's a bit closed in today, but I don't care. God can use anybody anywhere. Amen. And it's just a promise the Lord gave me years ago before I start, and Tommy's familiar with it. He gave Tommy a two, funny enough, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. Behold, I set before you an open door that no man can close. And that's the promise the Lord gave me 25, 30 years ago. Amen. Well, I want to share a bit of my testimony, and I don't like talking too much about my testimony, but anyway, I'm one of seven. I'm the youngest of seven. And the very first day I was born, my mum gave me away. She wrapped me up in a blanket and gave me away. Not too many people know that. And then I was given away again when I was 4 years of age. And then at 8 years of age, I run away. So you may guess what I went through for a long time, but thank God anyway. And then foolish. I got married when I was young, which didn't last because I was foolish. I was too young. But anyway, I'm through a hard time for them, up to 18 years. And then I got married, and I went through a hard time for another 20 years. But thank God, at the end of them 20 years, there was three boys come to my door one night, knocked the door, and says, "George, would you come to a meeting?" And I had no notion of going to a meeting in them days, because that's the last thing in my mind. In them days, I was going through a real hard time. I was just down as far as I could go. I didn't care if I lived or died. I didn't really care. But these guys come to my door anyway. And the church wasn't too far from here, at Points Pass. Everybody knows what Points Pass is. About 6 miles from here. And these guys took me to a meeting in Points Pass with a Free Presbyterian minister. He's a Roman Catholic, converted Roman Catholic man preaching. And every night he preached about the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Every night. And I remember the very last night of that mission, I got out of the car, I said to the guys, "That's me under conviction for now a week." And one of the guys turned around and says, "He used to work with a boy like me, he always kept putting it off." I says, "What do you mean he kept putting it off?" He said, "He's dead today." And that sort of spoke to me. And I went into the house that night, and I remember very well going into the house that night, and I said, "Lord, come into my heart, forgive me." And the minute I said that prayer, felt something hit me. It's just like you know about the wind, but Jesus talks about Nicodemus, and he's talking Nicodemus. Nicodemus said, Jesus said, "Nicodemus, it's like a wind that hits you." It just hit me like that there. And the next morning, I was a new man. Amen. I wanted to get a Bible. I couldn't wait to get a Bible. And went to work, and all the guys at work said to me, "George, you'll never stick at life. You know, you'll never, because you know, things I used to do, I would be ashamed to say it today. I was just like everybody else in the world. You know, you stole and you lied and you did all sorts of things." But that particular night, I said the sinner's prayer and God hit me, and it's just like a light bulb. I was lit up. I went to work, told all the boys what happened to me. And I went on the streets, told everybody outside the coach. Brother Tommy was with me in them days too, outside the coach. And that's when I met Brother Tommy, just after that. Shortly after that, I met Brother Tommy. And we used to go down to his wee house in Dromore. I remember Tommy praying years ago. I always said Tommy was a young Paisley in them days. Because whenever he prayed, the place shook. I shook. Everybody shook. And even Brother Billy, too, I miss him. He was a great encourager to me in them days too. And there was only a wee group in them days. Bro Edis came to my house then, and Bro Newell, and we used to hold wee meetings for children up in Bonbridge. And you know, looking back in them days, they were great days, because young boys and girls were getting saved in them days. The word of God never goes void. But I want to say, going back a wee bit in my life, I want to thank God for my granny. My granny reared me from his eight years of age till I was about 18. But she sent me to Sunday school. Thank God for the Brian Sunday school. That's where I heard the word of God, and it stuck in me then when I got older. You know, all these scriptures came back to me then when I got older, you know, when I got saved. And then as I say, I hit the streets, started doing open doors in the streets, and God really blessed me. And as I say, he opened doors in America for me too. He took me all around America. I was in America, so I don't know how many times I was in America, just to testify and preach a wee word here and there. You know, God really used me in them days. And then I got stuck again in some of the traditional churches, and then I come out of them again, then I got back into them again. But thank God, God led me to back the foundation of the church, which is Acts 2:38. Thank God he led me back that foundation. It says in Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, because this promise is unto you and to your children and all your far off." That's us. We are far off. Thank God we have all come into this truth. Thank God we're all baptized. Amen. You know, I hope everybody's baptized in the name of Jesus Christ here today. Because here in America, you wouldn't get a church in America unless you're baptized in Jesus' name. That's what they do out there. If they thought anybody was in that church without being baptized, they make sure you're baptized. And you know, when you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you're set apart. You're different from traditional churches. Because they don't believe really in that, and being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. But I believe it's very important for us today, and for the people coming behind us, to make sure that our children are all baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Because there's no other way. There's no other name.
Amen.
And thank God, you know, that we are all baptized today. Thank God for Brother Tommy here, who's the Lord's led him in that truth too. And, you know, there's some great preachers in this place. I'm really proud of you guys. Because whenever I started going to your church a few months ago there, I'm surprised the way God has brought you all on. You're all on fire for God. I believe you can set this wee village upside down. If you get into prayer and pray that God will convict people at night in their sleeps, that they can't sleep at night.
Amen. time.
I've already planted a seed here 2 years ago, saying, still up in the tree out there. Repent, because the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. You know, it's already out there. And I believe, you know, it's time for us guys to be at fire for God. I'm sorry I'm leaving, because my wife and I is leaving to go to Cambridge very shortly, and I'm sorry, because I love to be with you, because, you know, I feel every time Tommy preaches or Brother Rocco over there, I feel the Holy Ghost. My wife even weeps in the car. I feel power. You don't feel that in churches, in most of the churches in Northern Ireland. I don't want to be critical today, but I'm just saying that with love, you know. We need to be on fire for God these last days, because we are in the last days. You know, we're living in the very last days, as Brother Tommy knows there. And we're living in the days of Noah, and we're living in the days of Lot, Sodom. But, you know, the most important thing in this world is to be saved.
Amen.
That's the most important thing. The blood of Jesus Christ can save anybody. I'm only a sinner saved by grace today. Thank God that he saved me. And he's given me a second chance. I want to share that with you too. God is a God of a second chance. There's not too many preachers today preach that God is a God of a second chance. But God gave me a second chance. And, you know, it's a story I'll share with you before I go. But it's a beautiful story. Tommy's a part of it too, by the way. But God's good to me for the last, 30 years. He's never let me down. Never will. He's opened doors for me. Everywhere I go, God uses me every day. Behind the scenes, I wouldn't even tell people what God does in my life. I wouldn't miss one person. I wouldn't miss one person. Everybody I come in contact with gets a word, a gospel tract. And some of the greatest preachers in the world were saved through a gospel tract. It's the word of God. This book's alive. The word of God is alive. People don't realize the power of the word of God. This book's alive. And all we've got to do is share it with. It doesn't matter who you meet. Make sure you don't miss them, because you'll never get that opportunity again. Sometimes I've missed people, and as my wife will tell you, I miss people there. And I just heard maybe 3 weeks later they were gone. It broke my heart. Never miss anybody. Be a soul winner. He who wins souls is wise. Never be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because whenever we save, we wish we had to give more. He who wins souls is wise. Give the Lord the best. Because, you know, your latter years will be greater than your former days, I believe, you know. And prophesy over yourself every day. You shall not die but live, and declare the works of the Lord. Amen. We're living in a country, Northern Ireland's full of people who are very negative. But we need to be positive people. We need to be strong in the Lord and prophesy over ourselves every day. And say, Lord, give me a divine connection today. I believe you will. And say that word, believe.
Amen.
Say that word, believe. And God will lead and guide you. He leads me every day to different people. I never miss an opportunity as long as I live. I can write a book about giving out gospel tracts, how I've met people, and God's opened doors to me. I remember giving a guy a gospel tract one time, and the tract says, prepare to meet God. That's the title of the tract. And I was trying to get him out of the church, and he disappeared for 2 weeks. Couldn't find him. They found him in the bottom of the River Bann, and his mummy found the gospel tract in his back pocket with my telephone number on it. And she rang me, and I got the opportunity to talk to her about the Lord and all, and to comfort her. But that gospel tract wasn't even wet. That shows you what God's word never, never turns void. Never be ashamed to give a gospel tract to somebody, because you'll never know what that tract will do.
Amen.
You know, I have tracts in my pocket for all sorts of people. Young people, old people, you name it, different ones. And there's something I want to share with you. The only person the devil fears is the living one on two legs. That's true. The devil doesn't like anybody who preaches the truth. There's not too many preachers preaching the truth today. They're only just tickling their ears, you know. But thank God we have come into the truth. But Jesus says you'll lead you into all truth. That's the most important thing. Lead into all truth. There's no other way, folks. Time's short. Be on fire. Pray for this village. Because Bond Bridge has spoken to too many times. God's going to use the people outside, this wee village outside Bond Bridge, to bring revival. I believe if we get into prayer in this village here, God will open doors in this village. The fear of God will grip people and they'll come in. The Holy Ghost will guide them in. That's the song. They don't preach about the Holy Ghost anymore. The Holy Ghost is the most important thing in our lives. He will guide us and he'll strengthen us.
Amen.
He'll give us boldness you never knew you had. Ask God to give you boldness. See, the Bible says, remember the Creator in the days of a youth. Make sure you give the Lord Jesus Christ your best. The best, all you have, give him all. Because someday we're going to have to stand before him and he's going to open the books. And if your name's not in the Lamb's Book of Life, there's no hope. Too late. I see too many people have wasted their lives. They've wasted their lives by drinking or whatever, and no fruit in their lives. What is in John chapter 15, Jesus says, I am the vine, we are the branches. The branches that don't produce fruit, he cuts off. I know too many people that went before their time. But those who honour me, I will honour, Jesus says.
Amen.
That's the most important thing. Honour the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. Give him all your heart. Don't be ashamed. Every day, pray, Lord, lead me to someone today. And I believe God will do it. And that person could be the one that God could use mightily, just like Paul. Look at Paul in the Bible. That, God used him mightily. Like, it only takes two or three people to turn the world upside down. These guys could turn this town upside down. Just get into prayer and pray, Lord, let the Holy Ghost fall in this village. And it will, if you believe it. But there again, you've got to speak it out. Speak faith. It's like we heard this morning about a little woman with the issue of blood. She said within herself, only I could touch the hem of his garment. She spoke faith. We've got to speak faith. We've got to prophesy over ourselves. We've got to really, really believe in all our hearts. And God will do the rest. And I want to talk about a second chance here. Whenever I met Tommy years ago, I wrote this big sign out. I got this big board and I wrote out, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And me and Tommy walked down to the Guildford Road and I stood on his shoulders to put the sign up. Big sign. You know, it's rough as ropes. It's only done with a paintbrush. But anyway, years later, should I say, that this lady was driving past every day looking at that sign. She said, Lord, bring me a man in my life who put that sign up. She prayed that every day, driving past that sign. And about 6 months after I married her, I told her I put it up. She didn't know it was me. That's a miracle. That's how God works. God is a supernatural God. He can do the impossible. He'll give you a second chance. Sometimes people make mistakes when young. Maybe not the will of God to do things, but God is a God of second chance. Amen. He'll give you the best if you ask. I can write a book about the way God has blessed my wife and I. Never ask for anything, and he blesses every day. It's just if you honour God, he will give you the best. And you know, all I have to do is ask and believe, you know. And I'm really happy that you've got a lovely hall here, Dad. I just pray that God bless you. And as I said, Tommy here was, in my days, a young preacher like Ian Paisley, and he's still the same. He's still that voice, still that power. He's that power of the Holy Ghost on him. Even my wife weeps when he preaches. That's the sort of preacher he is. You need that. You need that to fill you. You know, you need that sort of preaching. Brother Rocco there again surprised me there 1 week there. And all these guys, this guy here is a mighty preacher. These guys are on fire for God. Like, I'm sitting back there, I'm weeping because I just see the fruit in their lives for such a small group. You know, he's went on strong in the Lord. And the Lord has blessed each one of his mightily. And even Brother Newell and there's my brother Aidas, we used to have great times doing these children's meetings in the home and all. Aidas was a great man of God. Me and him had some powerful times together, you know, and with the children years ago. But it's very important to tell the children because, you know, what they've did was, what the world's today, they've done, put God out of churches, they've put God out of schools. God's took out of everything. That's why this world's the state is in today. God's not mentioned anywhere in even politicians. They're talking about climate change. I think that's a rubbish, that climate change. Amen. This is the judgment of God and people can't see it. Amen. And it's time people woke up and read their Amen. Bible. Because it says about wars, rumours of wars, earthquakes, roaring seas, it's just all in the Bible. Amen. That's the days we are living in. And time's getting short and you know, it's up to us. It's up to us to get out there and preach the word in season, out of season, no matter when, and believe and God will open doors. God will open doors no man can shut. Brought Tommy got that word, I think, 25 years ago too, that God, behold, God opened the door for him. And he has opened doors for Tommy. Tommy has seen miracles. He's seen signs and wonders. There's not too many can say that today because they haven't got the faith to believe it. And I've seen miracles in my life. I could tell you stories where people have prayed for and God healed them. But you can't tell that to too many people because they just think, you know, I want to give him the glory. But at the same time, they wouldn't believe us for today. But it is for today. The Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. He never changes. All we've got to do is walk in his footsteps and share the word of God and be full of love. Show him your love, you know, and that draws people. You know, and I believe, you know, there's great opportunities here in Lebreckland because Lebreckland's a hard place too because there's a lot of, what would you say, people don't even go to church here in this little village. So go around the doors, invite them in. Brother Tommy, send somebody out to invite them in. I'll even do it before I go. Invite them in and they'll come. You know, show them love and they'll come. Love draws people. Love conquers everything. If we love each other, Amen. People will see something in us and they'll want a part, they'll want what we have.
Amen.
If you have love, it conquers everything. So I'm really happy he's got a new beautiful hall here. I hope God really blesses you in the future, and I believe he will. I believe that every seat in this hall will be full very shortly. You'll be looking more chairs brought, Tommy. You know, this hall will be full. It's beautiful here. And there's good opportunities to get out there and sow the seed, witness, and tell them to come to church some Sunday or whatever, even prayer meetings or whatever. But the most important meeting, brought, Tommy, is the prayer meetings. Keep praying. Keep praying for revival, because it'll come. I believe revival will come. If you all get together, pray, one accord, make sure you're all in one accord. And I believe God will add to this church daily. Yeah. I believe it in all my heart, because the presence of God is here. And where there's presence, there's liberty, and there's fruit. And I believe you'll see mighty things if you believe. Because time's short. Remember, time is getting really short. I don't know how long we've left, but the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back very soon. And it's up to us. It's up to us. Don't worry if it's not, I'd rather be in a wee church like this sometimes where you feel the presence of God than a big church where, I told them in America it's not by their suits, it's by their fruits. A lot of people like to dress well up and all, but it's by their fruits. Jesus says you'll know them by their fruits. That's the most important thing. Never be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And get a bunch of tracts. A tract only opens an opportunity for you to talk to people. You can't just go up and say to somebody, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Hand them something. Put something in your hand and give it to them. And then that opens an opportunity then. That's the most important thing in your life. I've been doing it for 25 years or 30 years. My wife will tell you, we go away to Newcastle some days, they disappear for an hour. Get the word out. Get it out. Amen. And God will bless you. He'll bless you. God never let anybody, he'll never let you down. Never. God will never let you down if you honour him. And the blood of Jesus Christ again will never lose its power. We sang a big song there 5 minutes ago. The blood. Without the blood, there's no redemption. And thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God for that blood today. And make sure you have that blood, claim that blood over your body, over yourself and over your family every night for safety. Because there's nothing to penetrate the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing in this world will ever penetrate the blood of Jesus Christ. You're under the blood, you're safe. Amen. And so I want to thank Tommy today for giving me this opportunity to share that wee word with you. And you got me unexpected. But I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's like Tommy said this morning, he's coming to this place, and if you follow, he's talking to people to follow him. I believe they will follow him. But, even the road, I'd rather stand my own if nobody followed me. Lungs, I've got the Lord Jesus Christ with me and the truth. And you guys have the truth. Acts 2:38, remember them words? A lot of people don't like that. I've lost a lot of friends over this verse. But I'm not ashamed of the day. A lot of people tell me that's not for today, but it is for today. Amen. That's the foundation of the church. Amen. And we've got to get back that foundation of the church. And it even says in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. We need that power in our lives. If you haven't got that power, you're only going on two cylinders. Make sure you've got the power of Jesus Christ in your life. Ask the Holy Ghost to lead you into all truth, to fill you with the power every day. And thank God, God's given me a second chance. And there's a second chance for everybody here today. Maybe things haven't turned out for you in the past. Maybe you've gone into wrong relationships. But I believe if you pray for God to bring someone into your life, the right person, it'll happen. It'll happen. Because God is the God. He's a loving God. He wants the best for you. And he'll give you the best. He never gives you the second best. He gives you the best. And I'm happy that I have found a beautiful wife here, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. What more do you want in this life? Amen. Amen. And thank God for these lovely people who have met years ago. He's back again. This is like home to me. I'm just back home. I just wish I was staying here. I would love to be here and start bringing people in. I'm terrible for bringing people to church. But sometimes the Bible says, the shepherd, he scatters the sheep. You've got to bring them to the right church. The most important thing is the shepherd who's feeding the flock. He's the man that they're watching, and he's the man, if he's full of love like Tommy here, he'll fill the church. Amen. Amen. So I just want to encourage us all to pick up the cross and follow him. There's no other way, folks. God bless you all. Thank you again for having me today. And I'm praying for you that God will bless you in the future. Amen.
Amen.
We're more Pentecostals. We're apostolic Pentecostals.
Amen.
We believe in the apostles' doctrine. Remember that.
Glory.
If it's good enough for them guys, it's good enough for us.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Glory. Praise the Lord. Isn't that good? And the Lord bless your brother Geordie. And you know, I'm only going to be about 10 minutes. Just a wee thought. I shared this online a few weeks ago, and I don't know who heard it and who didn't hear it. And it's just a little gospel message. And I won't be very long this evening. I appreciate Brother Geordie. So many great memories. People that get saved on the streets. And Geordie was telling me his daughters get saved as well. Sonia's got saved. I remember years ago praying for Sonia. And she was in a pub. And she had to leave the pub and come home. And she said she didn't know why she left the pub and come home. God brought her out of it. The circus in Bomb Bridge used to be full flow. But some of us decided to close it. Now, Geordie knows this is the truth. We decided it needs closed. And we prayed it closed. That's the way it worked. We prayed it closed. And we need to get back to that type of praying. Where we believe it. There's no such thing as a half measure. God can do it if we believe it. And I'm not criticizing, but you know, people is willing to help out other churches and other works. But what about our own group? We have a group here of good people, and we need to go forward with the truth we know and we have. And we need to reach people with an apostolic faith. What the early church had is what we really believe, the four square gospel. And that's not just salvation, but that's salvation, healing, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he's a soon coming king. And that's what we believe. I want to read you a little story this evening, and I found this, it was really touched me, and this is Saved Alone, and maybe some people's heard this before. The history behind the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. James Mumford, this hymn was written by a Chicago lawyer, Hurriato G. Spotford. Now, I mightn't have spelled that right or said it right, but you might think to write a worship song titled It As Well With My Soul, you would have indeed to be rich, successful, Chicago lawyer, but the words, when sorrows like sea billows roll, it is well with my soul, were not written during the happiest period of Spafford's life. On the contrary, they came from a man who had suffered almost unimaginable personal tragedy. Harry Eddo and his wife Anna were pretty well known in 1860 Chicago, and this was not because of Harry Addo's legal career, business endeavors. The Spaffords were also prominent supporters and close friends of Dwight L. Moody, a famous preacher. In 1870, however, things started to go the wrong way, and Spafford's only son was killed by scarlet fever at the age of 4 a year later. It was the fire rather than fever that struck. Harry Addo had invested heavily in a real estate on the shores of Lake Michigan, and in 1871 every one of these buildings was wiped out by the Great Chicago Fire. Aware of the toil that these disasters had taken on the family, Harry Addo decided to take his wife and 4 daughters on a holiday to England. And not only did they need rest, D.L. Moody needed the help. He was travelling around Britain on one of his great evangelistic campaigns. Harry Addo and Anna planned to join Moody in the late 1873. And so the Spaffords travelled to New York in November from where they were to catch the French steamer Villa de Havre across the Atlantic. Yet just before they set sail, at the last minute, business developments forced Harry Addo to delay. Not wanting to ruin the family holiday, Spafford persuaded his wife to go as planned. He would follow on later. With this decided, Anna and her 4 daughters sailed east to the Europe while Spafford returned west to Chicago. And just 9 days later, Spafford received a telegram from his wife in Wales that read, "This, saved alone." On November the 22nd, 1873, the Villa de Harbour had collided with the Lochearn, an English vessel, and it sank in only 12 minutes, claiming the lives of 226 people. Anna Spafford had stood bravely on the deck with her daughters Anne, Maggie and Bessie, Antonetta, clinging desperately to her. Her last memory had been of her body being torn violently from her arms, her baby, sorry, torn violently from her arms by the force of the waters. Hannah was only saved from the fate of her daughters by a plank which floated beneath her unconscious body and prompted her upwards. When the survivors of the wreck had been rescued, Mrs. Spratford's first reaction was one of complete despair. Then she heard a voice speak to her. "You were spared for a purpose." Then she heard a voice speak to her, "You were spared for a purpose." And she immediately recalled the words of a friend. "It's easy to be grateful and good when you have so much, but take care of that you are not at fair weather, a fair weather friend of God." Upon hearing the terrible news, Harry Adder Spratford boarded the next ship out of New York to join his bereaved wife, Bertha Spratford. And the fifth daughter of Harry Adder and Anna, born later, explained that during her father's voyage, the captain of the ship had called him to the bridge. "A careful reckoning has been made," he said, "and I believe we are now passing the place where the harbour was wrecked, the ship. The water is 3 miles deep." Harry Adder then returned to his cabin and penned the lyrics of the great hymn. The words which Spratford wrote that day came from 2 Kings 4:26. The echo, the response of the Shumanite woman to the sudden death of her child, though we are told her soul is vexed within her, she still maintains that it is well. And Spratford's song reveals a man whose trust in the Lord is as unwavering as hers was, saved alone. Now maybe some of us think we're going through a battle, maybe some of us think we're going through a trial. But think of the trial of this man, his wife and his children and all his 4 children drowned of that shipwreck, and 220 something people lost their lives. And that man's wife was supernaturally rescued and supernaturally saved. And that man's wife heard a voice that spoke to her, no doubt it was the Spirit of Almighty God. Not to be a fair weather Christian, but a real Christian. And God is looking today, as he was then, for real men and real women, like Brother Geordie says, that will take every opportunity to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I remember well Geordie's words, and he's never changed over these years. When he meets someone, and this is what Geordie will say, and he knows I'm telling the truth, he'll say to them, "You know, the Lord is coming soon." And the Bible says the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is at hand. The coming of the Lord is imminent. People have no fear today for the coming of the Lord. People have no fear for the life of sin they live. We're living in a land that's passed laws that can murder the unborn baby. They can do things today that years ago our grandparents would have churned at. They wouldn't have believed it. But today these laws are passed and people wink at them and bluff them off. But there's judgment always follows these things. It has to. You know, a great preacher once says, he says, if God does not judge, you know, certain cities and certain places, he will have to raise up Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize to them. And the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And we know the coming of the Lord is at hand, and we're living in evil times, and we're living in desperate times where the coming of the Lord is near. And friend, it's time to be saved. It's time to arise. The Bible says, arise and let thy light shine. Amen. It also says, oh God, turn us again and we shall be saved. And all our prayer should be that God will save our wives, our husbands, our sons, our daughters, all that's near to us and dear to us. I mean, we heard the other day of the Muslim that prays 5 times a day, but let me say it goes no higher than that ceiling, and the Jew prays 3 times a day. But I want to say this evening, maybe this is controversy, but I don't care. The Christian that prays once is greater than the Muslim's 5 prayers a day. Because the Christian is praying to one that's living, that the seals were broken of the grave and they couldn't hold him, but he broke the bars asunder and he rose triumphant o'er the foe, and his name is the risen Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. He's a living sacrifice. And the Bible says that he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints, and his ear is ever open to their cry. The line is open. It's never engaged. 5015. Call upon me, Psalms 50. should glorify me. Saved alone. Just think of that this evening. Young person, think of that this evening. You need to be saved. If you're ever going to meet God, you need to be saved. If you're ever going to meet the Lord, you need to be saved. You need to be right with God. Saved alone. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace through faith are ye saved, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." This is a gift. God's not an Indian giver. People could give you something and a week later they want to take it back again. When God saves you, I believe you're saved for all time. I believe you're saved for all eternity. And Geordie said, you know, Acts 2:38 will separate us. Well, you know, Geordie knows a man, and I started up on earth with him, but me and him split. And we split because I don't believe in saved and lost. I believe when the Lord saves you, He saves you for all time, and He saves you for all eternity. I believe Romans 8 verse 1, there's now no condemnation, judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I believe we need to be baptized, as Geordie says, according to Acts 2:38, in the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other name, for there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, other than the name of Jesus Christ. The name of Jesus Christ is above every other name. The Muslim, when he prays, hasn't got that name. You know, Muhammad and all these ones that they pray till they're dead, false religions. You know the difference in real Christianity and what they've got? Buddha and Muhammad are laying in a grave. They say they even have a white horse at one of their graves, that when they rise, they'll ride it. But I want to tell you that the grave that Jesus was buried in is empty today. I want to tell you that the stone was rolled away, not to let Jesus out, but to let the disciples in. The stone is rolled away, and Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and He ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. He's alive, and He's alive to save. He wants us to uplift Him. I remember several years ago, I believe God spoke to me. I believe that. And they said to me, you need to preach more about Jesus. More about Jesus. You say, brother, were you not preaching enough about Him? Look, when I go back to places where I used to be and I hear them, they talk a lot about the names of men. And I don't care how good those men are. They could never save you. But the Lord Jesus Christ can save you. The disciples said, whether you forbid us or not, we will not cease to preach in that name. And the Lord bore them witness. When they met the man that was crippled, going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, they said, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, give are they. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I'll never forget sitting as close as Gary is, and to me here, a young woman, totally blind, in a service in Kenya. Not only was she blind, she, every time she became pregnant, her and her husband lost the baby. Every single time. And the Holy Spirit picked her out, and the Holy Spirit told her, you'll not lose this baby. And the Lord Jesus there in that moment opened her two eyes up. And she began to see she'd never saw before. And the Lord Jesus healed her and opened her eyes, and she had the baby. In the same service stood a man in the back. And the Spirit of God described the clothes he would wear, every detail of that man. And said that as soon as he'd put his jacket on, God would heal him. And as soon as he put his jacket on, he was paralyzed. He was a soldier and had been shot through the face and shot in different parts of his body. When he put upon his jacket, the Lord healed him. Amen. And he came to the platform similar to this, but the steps were at the front. And when he climbed up those steps, he was absolutely amazed that he was healed. And they couldn't get him stopped, get up and down the steps. It disturbed the service. He went up and down and up and down. He was in shock that God healed him.
Hallelujah.
And the Lord healed him. Jesus Christ can save. Jesus Christ can heal.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, I was thinking recently and I was praying. And some people think God has said no to me. Here's a word for you. The Lord gave me this just recently. What do you do when God says no? I shared it, I think, in one of the live broadcasts. There's a wee woman and God said no to her. Because she wasn't a Jew, she wasn't the chosen people. He said, I don't give the children's bread to dogs. But she was persistent. She said, Lord, but just a little crumb from the table of enough. And the Lord healed her.
Amen.
He healed her because she was persistent. The first answer seemed to be no, but she was persistent and God healed her. What about the little woman and the unjust judge? She came and he said, I'll not avenge you. But she kept on coming.
All right.
And he says, I'll avenge you lest you weary me. And the Bible says, how much more will God avenge his own elect that call upon him? Day and night, God will avenge. Saved alone. Saved alone. Now I'm almost finished. I told you I won't be long. My 10 minutes is up. And I'm closing in a moment. Saved alone. Now listen to this, children. Saved alone by Christ alone. Want you to get that. You're not saved for the pastor or the evangelist or a great preacher or a priest or a pope. But you are saved by Christ alone.
Amen.
Jesus Christ needs no help. He's the one that paid the ultimate price on the cross. John 3:16, the gospel in a nutshell. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What about verse 17? For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Amen.
Jesus Christ can save. I wrote down several things here, and I'm going to read them and come to a close. No sacrament can save. No creed can save. No priest can save. No parson or minister can save. Christ alone can save. We must get to Christ if we're going to be saved. In him and him alone have we redemption through his precious blood and the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1:14. The act that in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Redemption. Redemption. You know, my Uncle John took me years ago, I can't remember how long back, there's a little hall that's closed now. If you're going to Guildford out of Bond Bridge, there's a wee hall that's down in the road, the roof and everything's off it. And that big fella, you know, big tall fella, preached. David Henry preached, and I'll never forget it. Now I'll tell you, when that man preached that night, there was a quickening on the word. And he preached about redemption. You know, when you go to a service, if you can remember it 30 years later, it was a good meeting. And he preached on redemption, bought back. He bought us back with his own precious blood.
Hallelujah.
The Bible calls the blood of Jesus precious.
Amen.
Precious. Buddha could never see it because death had a claim on him. Muhammad could never see it because death had a claim on him. The priest could never see if death has a claim on him. The Pope of Rome could never see it. Although he says, come to me, don't go to Jesus. He's false.
Right.
He's antichrist. But Jesus Christ can see it because death had no claim on him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know why death had no claim on Jesus Christ? Because he had no original sin. His blood was pure. He wasn't born in sin and shaping in iniquity like you and me are. Every single man's born in sin, shaping in iniquity. But Jesus Christ was born the sinless, the spotless, the blameless Son of God.
Amen.
The virgin birth. Death had no claim on him. But he willingly stepped into death and challenged it. And life and death met. And death died. That's why death has lost its sting. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? For it is swallowed up at Calvary.
Amen.
Go God bless you this evening. I promised I wouldn't be long, and I'm closing. If you're listening into this broadcast tonight, and maybe you're not saved, or even if there's someone in this hall that's not saved, Jesus Christ can save you. He's only a prayer away. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, if you're backslidden, if you've been away from God, the Lord can restore you. He loves you. I was with a man this week, and that man was suicidal. And he said to me, "You'll probably hear about it, that I've hung myself." Now, I won't mention no names, but I said, "I don't want to hear that." And I said, "I'm going to tell you a wee thing. The Lord loves you." And I said, "I'm going to tell you something else." I said, "The love that you have for your wife, or she has for you, could change. Your love could be up one day and down the next. You could bear flowers on a Monday, and you could be falling down on a Friday. Not right? All right, maybe nobody else does that. I'm not saying I do either. But you could bear flowers every day. But I'm just saying, me and you's human. We're human. But we're working with someone that was both human and divine." Spurgeon said he is the God-man. God in flesh, manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And I said, "I don't want to hear that." I said, "I want to tell you something. The Lord loves you." He went to service. He prayed the sinner's prayer. I said, "You know, the Lord heard you. He heard you the night you prayed. And if you believe you were saved that night, you're still saved. No matter how you're talking or how you feel, you're still saved. And the Lord loves you." And you know, it changed it for him. It changed it for him. And I'm going to tell you, the next day he was a different man. God can touch you tonight. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. If there's someone in this meeting or you're online, and you would say, "Pastor, will you pray for me?" Will you lift your hand up to the Lord? If you're online, send a message up, a signal. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. God bless you, son. Praise God. Father, we thank you this evening that your word is the truth. We bless you that we can gather together in your name tonight. We thank you for Brother Geordie's testimony. Amen. We thank you for the words of encouragement. We thank you for how you've kept them and blessed them. And we pray thou wilt continue to do it. Bless his wife and all his family. Save every one of them. We claim them under the token in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for the young man in this service that's raised his hand. Lord, may your spirit come upon him and move upon him and fill him and thrill him. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, I pray for those watching in by broadcast this evening that's made a signal for prayer. Father, will you touch them? Will you move on them? Will you speak to them and save and deliver in the name of Jesus Christ? Lord, we'll give you all the praise and the glory. We ask again for the wee child that our brother Gary prayed for this morning. Father, we're asking you for mercy. We're asking you for grace. That you'll raise that wee one up and you'll touch her and heal her. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we would say, may you get all the glory and all the praise to thy lovely name. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all this evening. We'll meet here Thursday night, the Lord willing, for 7:30. I don't know if I'll do it live on Thursday night. I want us to have a bit of freedom in our meetings again, where people want to pray and worship. And you know what I mean? And we can have this Sunday night, and that's good. But we don't have to have it every service. And then I want you to think about for the Sunday mornings and let me know what you think, whether we come here or still go to the drive-in. And the Lord bless each one. As our brother Gary comes, God bless you all. God bless you, Brother Geordie.
Yeah, man. Let's turn to number 336. You know, it's kind of a wee bit sad that Geordie's going because I remember whenever Jordy moved up to Klein Road. I think it was 1990-91, would it have been, Jordy? I wasn't, because I was maybe about 9 or 10, around that age, was young. And it was Jordy that introduced me to Pentecostalism. I used to be, as what one man, or perhaps a few people would say, in the frozen peas. But you know, I'm not here to mock you, because there was a woman come from that church faithfully every Sunday morning to take me to Sunday school. On every Wednesday night she come and took my family, took my sisters and myself to a gospel meeting where we heard the gospel. And it was in the Free Presbyterian here in Bonbridge where I sat on my sister's knee and I prayed the sinner's prayer. And I was only 4 years of age. And from then to now, God has kept me. And I'm glad for that. But you know, when you grow, you start growing teeth, don't you? Sometimes it's time to come off the milk and get a bit of meat. You know, I was really blessed whenever Brother Jordy moved up to Klein Road, because he started the little children's meetings and there was lots of children come along. And there was a group of us, and I remember his son Alan was there too. And me and Alan started school together in primary one. We were in the same class, and so we knew each other whenever he came along. But you know, I don't know if Jordy remembers when we were in the house meetings, there was a few of us there that we would get together at night and we would pray. And we made a list of 10 people. I don't know if you remember that, Jordy. We made a list of 10 people that we would pray for, that the Lord would save them, 10 unsaved people. You know, I can remember Sonia was on that list. And I believe my sister Suzanne and my mum was on that list as well. I know there's three. I can't remember all the names was on it, but them three people that I remember is saved today. And you know, it was that list from all them years ago that gave me the inspiration to make a list. Do you remember whenever I had the meeting at the house and Brother James McCallum come and we made a list in church and we prayed for them? Specific people, everybody prayed for, I think, the two people apiece we prayed for. And there's several people on that list are now saved who weren't saved before. And that was from, that's where I got the inspiration for the Do That Prayer List, was from Jordy all them years ago. So the Lord bless you, Jordy. And I was well encouraged listening to you, brother. I really was. And it's sad to see you going. You know, it's nice sometimes when people have an influence in your life early on, you know, you have an affection for them, don't you? Like, it's that's why I wouldn't say, like, that precious woman that took me to the meetings, I have an affection for that woman in my heart, because she was faithful. She came and she brought us along. And an affection even to remember Brother Jordy was the first one to ring me to a house meeting. That was at David Robinson's. I always remember it. I remember John was there and Billy was there and Samuel was there. And Samuel was only a wee nipper. He probably was something like Joel is now whenever I went to that meeting. And it was the first time ever, you know, in that type of environment. And just share this quickly with you, but I remember whenever they were praying, somebody started praying and maybe seemed the prayer was going on a bit long and somebody shouted amen. And I thought to myself, that's a bit rude. You know, I wasn't used to it. And somebody said amen. And I said, they're trying to get this boy to shut up or to get quit. And so I wasn't familiar with that. But I can remember the first time here in that little course, my shackles are gone. You know, I loved it ever since. And whenever we were leaving that night, Jordy was driving an XR3i, a black XR3i. I remember it well. And isn't it funny how all them things from a child sticks in your memory? But you know, I remember whenever I was coming out the door, Davey, he was shaking my hand and he says, God bless you, young man. He says, I thought you were singing My Freckles Are Gone instead of My Shackles Are Gone. I used to have a lot of freckles on my face. You know, I remember them things, you know, when it's with fondness I look back, and you know, it was good to be introduced to them things, because, you know, then shortly after that, I started perhaps going to the Elam Sunday School in Bonbridge. We went there for a couple of years, and you know, I really enjoyed my time there as well. At the Sunday school and then at the church, and then shortly after that Tommy started up the meeting. So I've been in the one field. I was thinking about that, you know. I remember one time John telling me years ago, this is a long time ago, and again something that's just sticks in your mind. Tommy was saying, you remember a meeting from 30 years ago, it must have been good. Now I'm 39, I'll soon be 40, so I'm sharing memories as 30 years of age. Can you imagine a young man like me talking about 30 years ago? I can hardly believe it. You know, whenever I hear somebody been saying they've been saved 30 years, I think to myself, that's a very long time. It doesn't register with me that I've been saved that long myself and more. But you know, I can remember John saying that when he goes into the field and he closes the gate on the cows, he expects the cows will be there when he gets back. You know, and I thought about that, you know, I've been thinking about that recently. You know, I haven't thought about that for a long time, and just recently I've been thinking about that. You know, some people chop and change and they run from pillar to post, but you know, I believe if the Lord calls you somewhere and he wants you to be there, It's good to be where the Lord places you. Praise the Lord. Well, anyway, that's all I'm going to say about it. You know, it's just the Lord bless you, Brother Jordy. Can we sing that hymn? Blessed be the fountain of blood to a world of sinners revealed. Blessed be the dear Son of God. Only by His stripes are we healed. Blessed be the fountain of blood.
Thank your only begotten Son for us, Lord. Lord, we we appreciate that tonight, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone sick, Lord, or anyone needing a touch from you tonight, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll touch their body, Lord. Touch the back, Lord. We come against sciatic pain in the name of Jesus. Amen. We come against pains, Lord, in the name of the living God. And we say by the name of Jesus Christ that that pain will leave the body.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you'll touch the back right now, Lord. Lord, I pray that the fire of that back will be well in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, you thank you for your healing power. And we say tonight that that coming book was sufficient for our healing, Lord. Lord, we claim those fires, Lord, that you pour upon your back for our healing. Lord, I pray for tonight, Lord, and we give you thanks, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll bless us and lead us and guide us in the days of thy hand, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'll continue, Lord, I pray. Lord, you'll make us like a mighty door that'll grow in souls for the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to turn up the wick, Lord, pour in the oil, Lord, into the old light of vessels. Lord, if there be a vessel, that the oil is tied up in, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll pour in oil in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, set a box up, Lord. Light that thing up, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes,
Lord, yes. Be the best way, our hopes and safety, Lord. Lord, keep your hand upon us, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name, for the glory of God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to sing a chorus just as we leave. Praise God, this Holy Ghost power is setting me free. Just
Amen.
One last thing, you know, I was thinking, not that long ago we were praying in our own family house and, you know, shared something with my own children, just, you know, because sometimes, you know, people maybe... It's easy just to pray what you've heard praying, and I remember when we were praying in Geordie's house, I just prayed the way I heard praying. You know, yeah. Lord, if it's your will, do this. And Geordie said, Lord, it is your will. It is your will. You know, you're praying. You know what God's will is. You know, that's what we've been taught here too. We know what God's will is, and that's good to know what God's will is. So whenever you're praying, you don't need to be praying, Lord, is it your will or is it not your will? You know, you can pray in confidence and in faith. You know, anybody can pray in unbelief, can't they? It doesn't take much, Lord, if it's your will. But listen, the Lord bless you all as we go. Amen. This Holy